This is The Spark. I'm Martha Woodruff. Winchester's Hanley Library is celebrating its centennial year. As part of this celebration, Charlottesville's Richard Guy Wilson will be delivering a lecture there this Wednesday, May 15th at 7 p.m. Who's Richard Guy Wilson? Well, to start with, if you like your wit on the dry side, he's a pretty funny guy.
I'm an architectural historian at the University of Virginia, where I have been, depending on how you view it, too long or not long enough, since 1976. My background is I was born in Los Angeles, the home of everything new, and my parents were architectural and modern art freaks. I was born in a house by a very famous modernist architect, Rudolf Schindler, and grew up with this sort of a background. However, I had no idea what I wanted to do. I went to college, and in my senior year, I couldn't figure out still what I wanted to do. Tried the law school briefly, but wound up in the Navy. Went to Officers Candidate School in Newport, Rhode Island, where I very luckily did meet my wife. And secondly, began to look at the historic architecture of the town. Newport is a tremendous center for so-called Victorian architecture. And one thing led to another. And so after my naval career, I went to graduate school at the University of Michigan, where I ultimately received my PhD in American Studies with an emphasis on American art and architecture, and then taught in Iowa for 4 years and then came to Virginia.
Virginia is not the home of everything new. So I am betting from reading your bio, thank you for sending that to me, that you're much more focused on the non-new.
Well, my interest in architecture goes all over the place. I'm teaching a course this semester, which goes up to this year, 2013. But yes, if you are in Virginia, the emphasis is on the older architecture. And one of the great pleasures of my life is that teaching at the University of Virginia, Thomas Jefferson's University, there is a respect for architectural history, and I think a respect for architecture that maybe doesn't exist quite the same other places. Hence, with that legacy there, it's easy to experiment and do different sorts of things. So I have become, inevitably, if you stick around too long, part of what you might be called the Jefferson Mafia, as far as architecture goes, and I've written several books on Jefferson's University and design, and I've done several books on Virginia architecture, and so I do look at the past, but Virginia does have some modern buildings, unbelievably. Dulles Airport is always ranked in one of the top 10 of American modern buildings. A lot of people do not know, but just outside of Alexandria, Virginia, is perhaps the greatest modernist subdivision ever built, Holland Hills, which is a treasure trove of 460-odd modern homes, all beautifully well-preserved, that was put up between 1948 and into the 1970s.
What can we Americans learn about ourselves from our buildings?
Well, architecture is the history of mankind. It is how we inhabit the earth. And by architecture, I mean not just simply a building, but also the landscape that surrounds it, what we do to the landscape. Driving into town here off of I-81, and of the way that in Harrisonburg, and I drove around town is before I came here, the different levels of, you can see the different history and so forth. And there are many ways that history is recorded. One way is the book. We are now going into a new age now of the digital. But still, buildings are these permanent or impermanent, because some of them do disappear. But after all, when a person does go to Europe, there are a number of reasons. Have a good meal. But there's also to go to the great cathedrals, to walk through the old towns and have an experience that is a very different experience than normally you would get here. The Greek temples, the pyramids, you name it, they are permanent records of how people have chosen to define themselves and to portray themselves. And it's the same way today. We do build great buildings. We'd also have other buildings that maybe aren't so great, but they also tell a big story about us, whether it's a McDonald's or the Walmart, the town hall, or the library.
What a lovely transition you landed in my lap. I asked you here today because you are set to trek up to Winchester to deliver a lecture about a pretty important building there, the Hanley Library. So why you and Hanley Library?
I was invited to the Hanley Library because 21 years ago, I helped with several other architectural historians to put together a major exhibition entitled The Making of Virginia Architecture. And it was at the Virginia Museum of Fine Arts. And what we did is we collected major drawings of different buildings from across the state. Needless to say, here in Virginia, a lot of the focus is down there in the Tidewater and in the older areas and so forth. And of course, there is Mr. Jefferson always. But there are some good buildings that are over here in the valley. And one of the buildings that has one of the most beautiful renderings that is, or rendering, drawing, is the Hanley Memorial Library. And put this in the exhibit. Anyway, I've stayed in touch over the years. I visited, did some research on it, and the consequence is that they've asked me up to give a talk because this is their centenary.
Yeah. You talked about the drawing being beautiful, as apart from the building being beautiful. Why?
Well, the reason why we put it in this exhibit is that it did have this beautiful set of drawings that were done by the architects of Barney and Chapman. But also the building itself is a very unusual building, not just simply for the valley, but indeed in Virginia. I would argue that it's probably the best example of what we might call turn of the last century classical architecture, or sometimes labeled under the broader term of the American Renaissance. It's a classical building. It derives certain of its elements from French architecture and then from Roman architecture and Renaissance architecture and so forth, though it's treated in a rather unusual way, the way that the entrance is situated on the corner and has this huge triumphal arch entrance. But then above that, there is this dome that rises up. And then on another level, a building like this is a very good example of certain aspirations in the late 19th, early 20th century to bring art, to bring culture to America, which many people felt didn't really have too much. In this case here, this is a donation. This is in the line of one of the other great programs that was going on these years, the Carnegie Library System, where Andrew Carnegie, you know, was a very wealthy coal from Pennsylvania. He believed that you should pass away having no more money than you were born with, and so he spent a lot of his time getting rid of his money. And in this case here, this is a similar, not quite the same amount of wealth, but Mr. Hanley was very much in the Pennsylvania coal, steel, iron type of business, but he began to spend some time in Winchester, and so he gave this library to the town. There are some other wonderful buildings in Winchester, several nice churches. There is the old courthouse, but this is really a striking, striking building. And as I say, I think in the overall picture of Virginia architecture from the late 19th, early 20th century, this is really one of the great buildings in the state.
Tell me about your first sighting of Hanley Library.
Well, when I first saw this building, which was, well, gosh, maybe 30 years ago, mm-hmm. when I go off different places, I like to cruise the city and to take a look at what is around. And I did pull off of 81 and went through Winchester just to see what was there. I remember seeing this thing downtown and saying, my goodness, this is really unusual. Mm-hmm. I was still relatively new in Virginia at that point in time, but I had never seen a building quite like this in the state. Mr. Barney, who was the architect of this, was very closely looking at what was going on at other great libraries. And this is a period of the late 19th century of the creation of some of America's great libraries. Library of Congress, as one example, was built in the 1880s. The Boston Public Library in Copley Square is 1887 to 1895 by the great New York firm of McKim, Mead & White. The New York Public Library, which is on Fifth Avenue at 42nd Street, is by Carrer and Hastings. And you begin to get these libraries that are scattered across the country. But this is one of the things that I had sort of noticed in Virginia, that we didn't, there were, yes, some very nice libraries, but there weren't these big monumental type of structures. And then all of a sudden, my goodness, here it is in a relatively, I mean, small town of Winchester. I mean, it is certainly the idea behind it is several fold. And one thing is, yes, learning, giving to the American population, which we have a dramatic increase in the 19th century of ability to read. There's more and more books that are being made available. What the concept of the library was is to make this available to a much, much larger population. So there's that, but then there's also just simply the public presence in the sense this learning is good for you. The book is good for you. It makes a statement about culture and about art.
Did you go in the building
yes.
that first
yeah.
time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Come up steps, actually. You come up to the portico. There's very much the sequence of entry is very, very important in buildings of this type. In other words, you just don't drive up and pop out of your car. You do go into the building and there's a sequence. And so then you have this tremendous rotunda and then you have the wings that stretch off on either side. There is a real emphasis here that you are in a very special space, that you are part of a very important type of activity.
In layman's terms, when you went into the building, saw the building, was your reaction, holy cow, or ho-hum?
Oh, my reaction was holy cow, yes. This is a building that is very, very, very impressive and does hit you, I think.
There's a lot of buildings worth researching, and you've spent time on this building. What was interesting about it?
Well, one of the interesting things, of course, is the building itself and the intentions. For instance, the drawing, this wonderful rendering, shows more ornament on it than ultimately was constructed. It's not quite clear what happened there. It may have been a little bit of money, got a little out of
yes.
hand, which architects are always prone to do, is to overdo things. It's interesting. The firm of Barney and Chapman were a very well-known late 19th, early 20th century American architecture firm out of New York City. Mr. Barney, who was the main designer in this, they did impressive buildings in a number of different places. There is a Gothic church down in Richmond. He said in his articles that Americans really shouldn't be borrowing from abroad. They ought to be creating their own style. Now, just to put in a sort of a footnote on that, this is the same time where you do have out in the Midwest an architect by the name of Frank Lloyd Wright. Making this sort of claim and creating something that is unusual. If you read Barney, you'd think, well, that's what he's talking about. But ultimately, that's not what he's doing. He is still borrowing, but he's taking these different things, combining them together in different ways. And so one of the interesting things is the way that this meets the street, that this entrance is in the corner, and that you get the view of the thing from a whole variety of different angles. And they could have put it right in the middle of the block. And it is very clear that he's reinterpreting older architectural precedents that are French in origin. And then, as they say, they go back to the Italian Renaissance and beyond that to Rome and then ultimately to Greece and the beginning of architecture.
You know a lot about this building, and you know a lot about the context in which this building appeared and in which it continues to be venerated. And you're going to talk about it at Hanley Library. Okay, here's a challenging question for somebody about to give a lecture. Why should people come and hear you? Besides the fact that you're charming to talk to.
Well, I can help them cure their insomnia if they have that. One of my missions, one of the mission of the University of Virginia, one of the missions of Thomas Jefferson, if we go back that far, is that we should be out trying to educate the same way as the purpose of public radio, that we should be reaching the public and delivering. It doesn't have to be the most somber messages. It doesn't have to be, but that we ought to be trying to point out that there are important things out there to be looking for.
There's a lot to learn in this big old world. Yeah. Okay, I have a deeply personal question for you, Mr. Architectural Historian. What kind of living space do you personally occupy?
My house is a what might be called a colonial ranch that then has been postmodernized. And my wife and I purchased the house a number of years ago and have done a variety of different things to it, including adding a entrance portico to it with a big mural on it that, if one doesn't know better, might think it's Saul LeWitt, who is a major American modernist painter. And on the inside, we do have a two-story living room and have a collection of oddball furniture, a lot of it modern furniture, and art of different types. I'm eclectic.
Did you inherit any of that furniture and art from your modernist nut parents?
Some of it I did, but then I have, much to my wife's irritation at times, there is very frequent additions that are being made.
There's a link with information about Richard Guy Wilson's upcoming talk at Handley Library on the Spark page at WMRA.org.
Our house, in the middle of our street. Our house, in the middle of our street. Our house, in the middle of our street. Our house, in the middle of our street.
Back after break with nonfiction visualist Pat Garrett.